Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-65-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, License to Kill. It is apparently difficult to charge and convict a law enforcement officer of murdering a civilian in the line of duty. Should it really be difficult? Does this difficulty encourage behavior that places civilians at risk? Does it provide a cloak of untouchability an absolute power for law enforcement. Are civilians prepared to continue to risk their lives and the lives of their loved ones to the fate of the apparently untouchables? From PT. First, thanks to all law enforcement officers who are capable of performing their duties in a professional and reasonable manner, you are appreciated. I have read that someone felt that police shootings were not receiving as much attention as it received during the end of the Obama administration. PT, Provocative Thought, will try to give it some attention. From Society, Mr. Robert Grimnick, April 4, 2015, says that when a death is caused by a police officer, the officer responsible is rarely charged with a crime. Even when they are charged, they are unlikely to be convicted, especially of something like second-degree murder. One reason is that a jury of 12 people needs to agree beyond reasonable doubt that the officer used excessive force or did something illegal that caused the death. Also, everyone knows that police work can be fast-paced and high stressful. People tend to give officers the benefit of the doubt when it comes to those life and death moments. Therefore, it is very difficult to convict police officers for killing someone in the line of duty. So, Provocative Thought is saying, it's asking, so if there is a fatality, there is a fatality whether you acted as a professional or not. You are accountable for the death of the individual. To murder someone, you are guilty of one of the three murders, first degree, second degree murder, or manslaughter, which comes voluntary and involuntary. I think they might call manslaughter one, manslaughter two. It depends on where you are. And those different from state to state, wherever you go. You can plan to kill someone from the time you plan to engage that individual. Law enforcement officers are supposed to be trained to perform in high-risk situations. I would like to think that it means that they are trained to deal with the stress and complexity of a situation, and that training guides the decision to use the appropriate amount of force necessary. The truth cannot be determined if anyone is taking the word of a law enforcement officer over a civilian. The facts must be weighed. Where is the blind justice in that? Law enforcement has been known to tell a lie or two. From Business Insider, Christina Sturbin says Chuck Drago, a former police chief in Florida with over 30 years of experience in law enforcement and government, stated, when it comes down to is what the officer feels at the time. So police aren't trained to shoot to disarm. Like in the movies, you see guys who shoot guys, wing guys in the leg and stuff like that. They're not trained to do that. They shoot to stop the threat. They are taught to shoot at center mass, upper torso, because that is the easiest target to hit. That's the largest target, and you got a lot of vitals in that, in those areas. Drago said police are commonly shoot several times, since one or two shots may not stop a subject. So you're going to get multiple gunshots. From police1.com, Roy Bedard, president of the RRB Systems International and Law Enforcement Product and Training Company in Tallahassee, Florida, said in an article, center mass, it's operation central for the body, houses your heart, and most important muscle that sends blood to all parts of your body, your lungs here, and they are necessary for the balanced exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide. We know that, right? We got nerves, lots of nerves that pass through the center mass. The vagus nerve, for instance, represents the golden highway of neural life-sustaining information between your brain and your vital organs. This nerve is the master switch for the heart rate and blood pressure. Turn off that switch, empty the pump of blood, or puncture a lung, and a person is likely to die quickly. This, folks, is where we are going to put our bullets. So Provocative Thought is saying, that sounds like at least intent to kill. Multiple shots send a mass into the torso makes for a good kill shot. One may argue premeditation based on the training procedure and the absence of a threat. So what are we talking about here? Murder. Murder is the willful killing of another human being without justification or valid excuse, especially the unlawful killing of a human being with malice aforethought. The state of mind may, depending upon the jurisdiction, distinguish murder from other forms of lawful homicide, such as manslaughter. First-degree murder, sentence and penalties. They differ from state to state, so I'm going to run through this. First-degree murder generally involves a willful killing that was premeditated or the perpetrator committed after lying in wait. So you trap somebody to kill them, go to kill somebody, that's premeditation. Aggravated circumstances, the nature of the murder, the commission of the murder when accompanied by other violent crimes, the use of explosives, whether the victim was a police officer, judge, witness, prosecutor, or juror, the commission of a murder as a part of a gang activity. In California, a murder can be considered aggravated in the purpose of killing for financial gain. In Ohio, if the victim is 13, under 13 years of age, then the killing qualifies as an aggravated murder. Vermont law, see how this thing is different from different places. A person who commits two or more murders at the same time, they count as aggravated murders. Life sentences and the death penalty in the U.S., 31 states still allow death penalty. So do the federal government and armed forces. In some states, the death sentence can be handed down for first-degree murder. A life sentence is likely the alternative. A life sentence does not allow for the possibility of parole, meaning the inmate does not have the ability to petition for release. In determining whether or not the death penalty is handed down, a life sentence or a number of years in prison, the judge looks at the defendant's age, defendant's mental capacity, whether the defendant played a minor role in the crime, whether another person was equally responsible, whether the defendant acted under duress, whether the defendant had any prior convictions. California sentences 25 years to life in prison without parole or death with aggravating circumstances. Texas, life in prison without parole or death. Florida, life in prison without parole or death. New York, 20 to 25 years in prison or life in prison without parole. Illinois, 20 to 60 years in prison without parole. 60 to 100 years in prison without parole or life without parole if aggravating factors are present. So the thing changes. Second-degree murder is an intentional killing that is not premeditated or planned, nor committed in a reasonable heat of passion, a killing caused by dangerous conduct and the offender's obvious lack of concern for human life. So you're just acting recklessly and you kill somebody. So second-degree murder is usually defined as a killing that is either not premeditated or is caused by reckless conduct or lack of concern. Murder committed on impulse with malice or after forethought. Murder that results from the intent to cause serious harm. A murder that shows disregard for human life. And again, you know, these things, the consequences vary. A second-degree murder conviction in California carries a mandatory sentence of 15 years to a maximum of life in prison. Illinois, 4 to 20 years in prison. So it depends on where you do these things and how much time you get. Aggravated factors. These are things that might impact on your sentencing. The use of a firearm, whether the killing was a hate crime, whether the defendant had a criminal history, whether the victim was a law enforcement officer, whether the offender played a main role. That's like whether you were standing outside when they killed somebody doing a robbery or whether you was holding them down while somebody shot somebody in the head, something like that. So, and not to be too graphic. Mitigating circumstances, things that might help your case. Accepting responsibility for showing genuine remorse for the crime, mental, physical illness, the defendant's civic contributions, the nature of the defendant's childhood, the lack of a criminal record. It appears that the deck is stacked against individuals who have a criminal record, though. So if mitigating factors outweigh aggravating factors, the minimum prison term could be reduced from 20 to 10 years in Vermont. So there's different sentences. I'm not going to go through all of this shit, but as you can see, it differs for each state. But they do have sentences for these murders. Manslaughter is a killing committed in the absence of malice brought about by reasonable provocation or diminished capacity. Example, catching a wife or a husband in bed with somebody. You need to just, oh, snap. Oh, my God. You know, so involuntary manslaughter, where it is recognized as killing that lacks all but the guilty intent, recklessness, no intent to kill, killing someone with a car, even while drunk. So sentencing for those things, for those crimes, depending on where you go again, some of the, 10 years or less in prison. Federal sentencing guidelines. California law for sentence requires 3, 6, or 11 years in prison. Florida, for manslaughter, is considered a second-degree felony, resulting in a fine up to $10,000 and up to 15 years in prison, or both. That's interesting. How are you going to pay $10,000? Some people don't even have $10,000. Never had $10,000 saved up anywhere. Anyway, involuntary manslaughter of state penalties, you know, as I said, at $10,000, 15 years in prison, 10 years in prison, some people, counseling and things like that. So there are sentencing for these things. So a constant theme appears to be no body cam available for some of the incidents the Washington Post tracked. So out of the 987 shootings tracked by the Washington Post in 2017, 94 had cam recordings. The count, it says that 193 killed in 2016. So the Washington Post has documented only those shootings in which police officers in the line of duty shoot and kill a civilian, not the people that's, no matter, like, you know, like, what's the guy named? Freddie Gray, his spine was severed or something like that. Not, if you weren't shot, they're not even including you in the Washington Post tracking. The Post is not tracking the deaths of people in police custody. Fatal shootings by off-duty officers or non-shooting deaths. So there's other, there may be more, but that's not what the Washington Post track. So 999 people were shot and killed by police in 2015. There were 28 more fatal shootings in 2015 and 2016. 963 people were fatally shot by police in 2016. There were 24 less fatal shootings in 2016 and 2017. 987 people have been shot and killed by police in 2017. There were 14 more fatal shootings in 2017 than in 2016. 378 people have been shot and killed by police in 2018. The Post reporting on police shooting. Fatal police shootings of unarmed people have significantly declined, experts say. May 3rd, 2018, nationwide, police shot and killed nearly 1,000 people in 2017, January 6th, 2018. Number of fatal shootings by police is nearly identical to last year, July 1st. Fatal shootings by police remain relatively unchanged after 2 years. In 2 years, police killed 86 people brandishing guns that look real but aren't. So that's a toy gun. In 2016, fatal shootings by police, 1 in 5 officers' names go undisclosed. That's an interesting statistic right there. Police killed in the line of duty, from the BBC News. We're not gonna just look at one side of this thing. 10 years from 2006 to 2015, the annual average number of police deaths was 49.6. The high was the 10-year period prior to 1980, when they had an average of 115 police officers killed. They said it was actually 114.8 officers. I don't know how you get a 0.8 of a man, but there you have it. Officers feloniously killed in the line of duty every year. That's a problem also. So, PT, everyone wants to go home at the end of the day, civilians and police alike. Has the officers who were feloniously killed in the line of duty made law enforcement paranoid, afraid, and apprehensive. So have these killings made police officers, you know, more paranoid, you know, and afraid and apprehensive when they go out to work? They're like looking, oh, man, they killed another one of us. Killed so-and-so. You made a stop, and guy pulled a gun out, blew his brains out. So has that, is that part of why the police react to the way that they do? And I'm not making excuses for police. I'm for the police officers or police officers that do shoot. I'm just saying, is that a part of it? That's a question. Why does there appear to be a reliable statistic for police who are murdered in the line of duty and not a reliable statistic for civilians murdered by police? Because those things are actually monitored by the Guardian and a couple of other people. That's not an actual police statistic. So videotape doesn't necessarily convict the police officer. It helps sometimes, and sometimes it is left to interpretation. So we have seen situations where videotape, you know, to you, it looks like police brutality, but the way they interpret it and then it goes to court, you know, it's not what you saw. It's not what you think you see. Wesley Lowry from the Washington Post in 2017 of the Chicago Tribune. After the officer involved was acquitted of second-degree murder charges, officials in Arizona released graphic video showing Daniel Shaver crawling on his hands and knees and begging for his life in the moments before he was shot and killed by police in January 2016. Shaver died in one of at least 963 fatal police shootings in 2016, yet charges remain rare and convictions even more so. So I think this is the guy in a hotel on his knees, you know. Ex-South Carolina officer Michael Slager, you might have heard of, remember this one, was handed a 20-year federal sentence for violating the civil rights of Walter Scott, an unarmed fleeing suspect he shot in the back. Slager had previously been charged with murder at the state level, but a mistrial was declared after the jury could not reach a verdict. Now, let me tell you who this guy is, just says y'all don't remember. This is the police officer that stopped the guy. I think it was John Mercedes-Benz. I don't know why this guy jetted, you know, but he said that first he tased him, and then he shot him in the back. Now, there's no threat there. Man is running away. He doesn't have a weapon. This guy said that when the officer shoots the person, you can assume that he perceives a threat to himself or somebody else. This guy, some people videotaped the shooting. So there's nobody there videotaping that. I wonder how that, well, look how it went anyway. So just imagine how that went if nobody videotaped it. I mean, he shot in the back and he has no weapon. So the video showed Mr. Scott running away from Officer Slater. Officer lied about Scott trying to take his taser, claimed self-defense, received a 20-year prison sentence. ABCnews.com, 2016. In 5 years, officers fired upon 200 times in South Carolina have been cleared. Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke is currently charged with murder in the 2014 fatal shooting of Laquan McDonald. He was shot 14, some people say 16 times. In less than 7 seconds from exiting his squad car. I mean, he got out of his car, looked, and got to shooting. Drawed his gun and got to shooting. So that was Laquan had a knife in his hand. He wasn't near the police officer, but other officers there, they did not fire upon the suspect. And he continued to fire on Laquan McDonald while he was on the ground. He is on trial for first-degree murder. He pled not guilty. He's out presently out on $1.5 million bond. I don't know how he did that on a police salary. 250 black people were killed by police in 2016 by Julian Craven. U.S. police killed at least 258 black people in 2016. Four were killed with stun guns, and another 9 died in custody. He says there's a continuing problem in American jails that the majority of black people killed by police were fatally shot. So, you know, we need to be careful out there, you know, everybody. But, you know, it seems like black people, you know, have a particular problem when it comes to police and deadly force. So based on a tracker from the Washington Post, at least 232 black folks were shot and killed. The Guardian figures include all deaths resulting directly from encounters with law enforcement, while the Post counts only people who were shot and killed by police, as I mentioned previously. And the Guardian is the other person that was tracking civilian killings or murders. The Post found that 34% of the unarmed people killed in 2016 were black males, which is quite disappropriate since, again, black men make up only 6% of the U.S. population. So what are we saying about black males? Are black males are so aggressive and threatening, or are law enforcement afraid of black males? What's going on here? You know, are most law enforcement officers have been murdered by black males, so therefore they get the stigma, you know, that, hey, you know, watch these black guys, they can kill you. You know, what's happening, you know? You know, because we have a problem here. Take the case of Keith Lamont Scott, who was shot and killed by an officer in Charlotte, North Carolina in September. Scott was the 173rd black person to be fatally shot by police in 2016, based on the Washington Post tally. The police claim he was armed. Scott was armed, of course. That officer told Scott to drop his weapon, but Scott got back into his car and came out again still holding a gun. I think I saw the video on this one. I think his daughter or his wife was videotaping it, and they were still out here and he had a gun. I think the police in the video was saying, after the video, they were saying that he had something, a strap on to his leg. I don't know. But Scott's daughter recorded the shooting's aftermath on Facebook Live. Scott, according to her and other witnesses, did not have a gun and was disabled. He had a brain injury. And he was killed as he got out of the car. He was shot. The HuffPost by Julian Craven. Based on the Guardian data, black males between the ages of 15 and 34 are 9 times more likely to be killed by police than any other demographic. 15% of all 2015 deaths from law enforcement encounters, they represent, and they make up just 2% of the U.S. population. That's very disproportionate right there. Again, I mean, as we all know, it is a focus of fear, apprehension of what's going on, that are black males just at that out of control that, you know, you have, you know, they have to be taken down, you know, but, you know, just to keep up, just for a police officer to feel safe himself, you know, because if he's unarmed, then you're the only person that, you know, feel threatening. It must be the police officer because, again, he don't have a gun. Or, you know, the client had a knife on him, but he was nowhere near the police officer that shot him. There were other police officers there. They didn't they assessed the situation as a non-lethal situation and therefore did not fire. And I'm going to say that's good police work for those guys. Would have been nice if they could have stopped the officer from shooting the choir. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. 036Q.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello? Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, I think that is a consensus that not just black men, but black people in general, people feel threatened and they feel they have to, people who are armed feel as though they need to shoot without being, you know, provoked or anything like that, just black presence. I think,
they shoot unarmed black people, you saying?
Yeah, I think that's why the police do it, and that's why they don't get convicted. It's not only those people feel as though they got to protect police. I think they have a fear of themselves. So when somebody says they fear for their life, they're like, yeah, I would have been afraid to, you know, they sympathize with that fear thing. That's what happened with Trayvon Martin, I think. They got some unreasonable fear of this black kid that's unarmed, and there's
right.
other instances of black people being shot, not just by police, but by armed white people. Like
right.
when that happened down in Louisiana, the big storm,
mm-hmm.
there was a story about some people that was trying to leave the city to get the safety at the neighboring county. And there were people from the neighboring county, not black people, armed at the border, or not what you call it, the border, just between counties. But there were people there, armed people, like shooting at them, so that they couldn't leave the flooded areas to get into the that story or not. But that's something I heard about that. You know, something that happened with that down in Louisiana.
So
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know you're talking about. So is that a fear or a hatred?
Yeah.
Or is that the same thing?
I think it's same.
Those two go hand in hand, fear and hatred.
Right. Yeah. Unreasonable, you know, fear to just, you know, got to be super aggressive and so forth.
So what about a African-American police officer or a Latino police officer? Is that same thing?
Could be.
Well, it's very hard to get a conviction because a lot of these guys, if they make it to court.
Very hard.
Yeah, if they make it to court, like, how do you get a mistrial from Slager? How do you get a mistrial? They got him on videotape shooting a man in the back. Impossible to get a mistrial from that. He has a taser in his back running away, and a guy, he's nowhere near the police officer, and he's shooting him in the back multiple times. How do you get a mistrial out of that?
Right. Most people probably weren't there.
Something wrong with that picture.
They already had it in their mind. They wasn't convicting this guy for shooting some black dude.
Right. That's right. Sounds like an old story, right?
Yep. No matter what. And especially if it's a police officer. Because, you know, one of those juries, somebody was saying, he must have done something and the police officer felt, you know, he has to shoot him, you know. He must have
we don't care? How about we don't care about them like that?
Yeah, right?
Just another nigga.
Yep.
One more we don't have to worry about.
Right.
And it might be that simple. It might be that simple for anybody in law enforcement, no matter what color they might be. They might have that attitude. I don't know that they might look down. But the black person can look down on his own people. You know what I'm saying? He could be fearful of his own people. You know what I'm saying? He could have a fear of African Americans also. You know, like I said, you know, they had at one time 115 police officers killed in the line of duty. So that would make me nervous if I was a cop. But I think I'd find another job if I was nervous. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just wondering if outside of people being racist and having a contempt for people, does that fact that law enforcement officers are being killed in the line of duty have an impact on the deadly force that they use? Because they are trained when they draw that weapon, that's to kill. So cause the training says center mass, right? And we all know that's where your vitals are, center mass. That's not a wound. That's not to stop you. That's to stop you forever.
Right?
Because you know, if I shot somebody twice center mass, that's aggravated assault, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody can look at that, they can say, he tried to kill this man. But if I shot you in the leg, I might say, that might be aggravated assault, but I could say, I wasn't trying to kill him. I might have that argument that I wasn't trying to kill him because I shot him in the leg. But if you shoot somebody in the torso or the head, you know what I'm saying, that's you're trying to kill him. As the officer just explained, that's organization central for the body. You got the heart, the lungs, and the vagus nerve. Any of that, you tear any of that up, you out of here. Right?
Right.
So So to me, it's safe to assume that when an officer draws his gun, his intent is to kill you because that's what he's trained to do.
Right.
Even though he's not trying, he says he's not trying to, but you only draw that, supposed to draw it when your life is being threatened, somebody else's life is being threatened, and then you are going to use deadly force to stop that threat. So if you draw that gun out like that using deadly force, so, you know, we got videos of police officers using deadly force on people speeding away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they killing people, you know. So that you fear for your life because somebody didn't stop for you, and, you know, they're not trying to run you over because they're driving straight. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, then you have police officers. And, you know, I have some of the stories in here. So some have argued that black people kill more black people than police do. And so that has nothing to do with police murdering blacks or anybody else. Hell, white people are killed more by other white people than police or blacks. It has nothing to do with police murdering civilians. The fact that it's on videotape and somehow and some way it is perceived as an act within the scope of law enforcement policy is scary. Like that case I was just mentioning when in North Carolina? Shot this guy in the back. Hey, that guy hadn't ran, maybe he'd still be alive. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? The fact that he did run is no reason for him to be dead. How about that? Huh?
Right.
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Go back to that whole thing. He must have been guilty or something because he's running.
Right. And even if he was guilty of something, well, where was the threat?
Right.
No
I'm
weapon.
Saying that's what they be going
no
for.
Assault. Yeah, okay. He's guilty of something. I'm sure that police officer is guilty of, has been guilty of something in his life. Right? And at that point, he was guilty of something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they said, I thought I saw a gun. You know, so they say, that's not the same as I see a gun and perceive a threat. You thought you saw a gun and you perceive a threat. It's not the same as I see a gun and perceive a threat. You understand what I'm saying? Or I thought you saw you reach. I saw another video where it was a car chase. The girl ran in, tires busted or whatever. So she pulled off the road into this little, you know, I guess it's down in New Mexico somewhere, you know, like a field. So the game came up to the car. I think they shot the engine the first time. Then it got to the car, and the guy just shot into the car. Talking about she was reaching for something. I mean, like, really? You know what I'm saying? She's reaching for something? Is that a good reason to use deadly force? Oh, she's reaching for something. You know what I'm saying? You don't see anything? You know, what do you mean? What do you see? You saw enough to see her reaching, but you didn't see what she was reaching for. But you were looking, you were seeing good enough to put those bullets in her. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So something wrong with that picture, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's the car chase. It was, I don't know what it was. I forget what the lady was. I think she had a warrant or something like that. So again, if you are fearful and have contempt for the community you serve, or are simply a sick, cruel bastard, we recommend that you please resign from law enforcement. You are not helping the problem.
Right.
You're making it worse. We know law enforcement has a history of being aggressive, cruel, and sick. Now it's time to throw out the trash, the weak, and the wicked. So law enforcement needs to do some cleaning up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to. They know who's who in law enforcement. They know who the aggressive guys are, who's people doing what. You know, do something about it. So, black people have difficulty.
They think they're okay.
Right. They think they're okay.
So
right.
And so do a lot of the political people that support them. You know, a lot of those
right
wing people. This guy was in the Senate the other day talking about he's tired of hearing about all this discrimination stuff. He said they're trying to make America great again. We need to get busy with that. You know, it's like, he's like a real extreme dude. Maxine Waters had
right
to get with him.
Right, because discrimination is a part of what he is used to. That's a part of making America great. know what I'm saying? Because they've been
right.
discriminating
yep.
longer than not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he don't have a problem with discrimination right now. He's not nobody's right. discriminating against him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So to make America great again, and so, you know, there are a lot of good things about this country, but making America great again, if you look at the history of the country, really the history of the country is the history of genocides of the peoples of the North American lands and enslavement
mm-hmm.
of African peoples. So that's not great. That's not a good thing. And the oppression of those same African American, Latino, Asian, you know what I'm saying? Oppression of a lot of people and oppression of white people also, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were the first slaves they brought over here anyway, you know what I'm saying? And if you're poor and white,
mm-hmm.
you got to ask yourself, why I'm in this position if I'm so privileged?
Yeah.
Anyway.
They got their heads up.
Right.
They got them with the hate thing, so.
Right. They got them because
they white, but the emotional thing got them following them.
Right.
Down with
right.
the heat.
Right. They're stuck. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that people have a difficulty charging and convicting police with obvious crimes, negligence, fail to perform their duty, assault, violation of a person's civil rights or right to life is suspect at the least. Like, how can you take that to court? How do you go to court in a situation like that? Your family member is deceased and you just really, it's already basically predetermined. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the time they're sentenced to serve is not consistent with the time someone serves for the same crime, like a regular jail. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Someone once said, with great power comes great responsibility. How about with great power comes great accountability? You know what I'm saying? Police need to respect the people they come in contact with. Expect that some people will not be happy to see them, especially if the officer cannot provide a legitimate explanation for the encounter and subsequent arrest. After all, they have reason not to trust law enforcement, too. You know what I'm saying? So if law enforcement is apprehensive, if they have contempt for civilians might be apprehensive and have contempt for law enforcement also, right?
Yeah.
So that's not a situation where just because you're the police that someone feels safe just because you stop them. Because they know that in some situations police have made stops and people just didn't make it home. Right? So
right.
We need to keep law enforcement needs to keep that in mind, that the people you stopping could be fearful of you. And from what I'm seeing, they have good reason. You know what I'm saying? They may have 115 law enforcement officers murdered, but we got hundreds. You know what I'm saying? Of people
mm-hmm.
murdered, unarmed people murdered by law enforcement. That's just the ones, you know, through the shooting from the Washington Post track. So what if people feel the same way that police feel? You know what I'm saying? What if people feel fearful for their lives and the lives of their loved ones, and they determine to be the one to go home after an encounter or confrontation? Now you have a problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, because that's an explosive situation, so that's why we need to diffuse that. Get those aggressive police officers, fearful and aggressive police officers off the force. They don't belong there. And get some people in there who know how to do the job and who realize it is a dangerous job. You know what I'm saying? But treat
mm-hmm.
people like with respect. There's nothing wrong with that. They ask you a question, why are you stopping me? Let them know. I'm stopping because, you know, so and so and so. And, you know, I'm going to get to the story about Sandra Bland. Because, you know, that was an interesting scenario. And so it seems like all it takes for law enforcement to perceive a need to proceed with murdering somebody. They perceive a threat. They didn't even have to see it. They don't have to be real or anything. I just thought, you moved. Bam. You know what I'm saying? By now, it should be clear that we cannot always trust law enforcement to obey the law or make the appropriate decision. Right? There are people first and officers of the law second or third. It's, you know, they, you know, you may train these guys, but who they are is going to come out in a stressful situation. You know what I'm saying? Like in the case of Sandra Bland. Remember the girl that they say hung herself in jail?
Right.
In a trash bag?
Traffic.
I should get trash bagged in the prison cell, number one. Right?
Right.
So, but I watched that video, and the officer appeared to instigate and agitate her, and he took issue with the black woman standing up for herself. It was a traffic stop. All he had to do was write a ticket, not ask her why she appeared upset, not ask her to put her cigarette out. He's doing all these annoying things, you know what I'm saying? Not ask her to get out of the car for what? It's a traffic stop. Write your ticket, right? You didn't make a turn signal, even though she turned over because he was dogging her bumper. So she pulled over for him. And he threatened to harm her, handcuffed her, threw her to the ground, and arrested her for resisting arrest. That appeared to be an illegal arrest because he charged her for something that occurred after he attempted to arrest her, saying she hit him, like her legs or something like that. Anyway, he violated her constitutional rights and got away with it. So what's that all about? Is that one of those he sure showed that nigga girl never stand up to a white man, especially one in uniform? Not so long ago, she would have been beaten and or raped, if not lynched. Maybe in his white supremacist mind, he was taking it easy on the nigga girl. Watch the videotape, Sandra Bland. Miss Bland was found hung in her cell. Because she was incarcerated, and she's found, I think maybe 3 days later or something like that. How was she in, you know, she was being assaulted by a police officer during a traffic stop. Told her to put her cigarette out. She didn't want to do that. Get out of the car. What is this authoritarian of attitude that some of these police officers, that's contributing to these homicides? Treat people with respect. Do your job. You're stopping somebody for a traffic stop. Tell them you didn't signal. Write your ticket. Don't worry about how they feeling. Give them the ticket. Need your driver's license, registration. What happened to that?
Right.
And this young lady's dead. You know what I'm saying? So Bland's, Ebony said, Ebony Magazine said, Bland's family told ABC 13 Eyewitness News in Chicago the wrongful death lawsuit was settled for $1.9 million. The settlement with the Texas Department of Public Safety was capped by state statutes and will pay $100,000. The Waller County Jail will pay $1.8 million. This case was investigated as a homicide, though. How did trash bags get into Ms. Bland's cell? What was her motive for hanging herself? When I saw, she was a strong black woman. So all of a sudden, she just couldn't take it no more. We got another call. Hold on, Q. Kenny Jones.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up? Talked about my topic,
brother.
Huh? Hey, let me tell you something, man. Like I tell you, the reason why that the deaths had increased, they were given by the President of the United States of America, the President blessing to do what you want with the thugs.
The thugs.
And you know, thugs is a code word for the N word. It's a code word now. You know, so, I mean, just like the guy in Missouri, the cop was asked, well, why did you shoot him? He looked like a dangerous man. What he looked like? You know how many times I would have been shot the way I look? I mean, They had no regards. I mean, we are to pray. The whole criminal justice system, I called, on one show I said, the whole criminal justice system is anti-black male.
Right.
And if you look at, and over the years, if you look at the practice or the practices by our criminal justice system, it is implausible evidence that the criminal justice is anti-black male. Now, I just want you to look at something. how white suspects are treated. This white boy was caught with an AR-15 and a handgun, and they gently arrested him, the one at the Waffle House.
Right.
The cat that brought down 12 people and injured 10 other people, he was asked, please, please get down on the ground. And the guy said, shoot me, he was a white guy. Shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. He said, no, please get down on the ground. The guy that shot up the black church in South Carolina, he was taking the Burger King because he was hungry. Before he went
he
to
was
the
hungry.
The hospital.
Hey.
Before he went to the hospital, he took him to the hospital first. Huh?
Can I add something before you get off of that guy who shot up the Waffle House? At first, his first incident was at the White House, where he breached some type of barrier or something like that.
They gave his
weapons back to his father. His father gave them back
and
to
the
him
father
later
gave
on.
Back to him.
And then he went and shot up the Waffle House. And then they asked him for his weapons again, I guess.
And nothing's happening to that father neither. You know?
Right.
Now, if that would be a black dude at the White House with a weapon, assault rifle, no gun.
How about no gun?
No gun. That's right.
A black guy with no gun.
The person at the White House was a lady in a van. You remember that?
Right.
A lady in a van breached the White House barrier, and they let her have it. They loaded it up.
And it's not only shooting black males. Like at the same time that Waffle incident, there was a month before that, it was a black dude in Brooklyn, right? And he was pretending to have a gun, but it was a pipe. Some cops came on the scene, they asked him anything, they just opened fire. Now, the black guy was in the wrong. He had no business pointing a pipe that looked like a gun at civilians. At people, and he got into a stance.
Right.
Well, my God, this white boy at the Waffle House. First of all, he was missing for 48 hours. They found him. He was locked and loaded, AR-15 and a handgun.
Right.
And they gently arrested him. So that's why I said criminal justice system. It's anti-black male, you know, and they got the blessing from the White House to do whatever they want to when they come to our community. And you got to remember, we got self-responsibility, too. We got self-responsibility, too. I mean, we're not taking care of our communities like we used to. We're really not. If we take care of business and everything, I mean, these cops don't go up to Chinatown and shoot up the place. They don't go into a seated Jew neighborhood and shoot up the place. They don't go to an Indian neighborhood, you know, Indian from India, to shoot up the place. You know why? Because they have their own resources, economic resources. And there are a citizen in the United States feel that we are awake to the United States. You know? We're dead weight. We're not in entertainment, we're dead weight. Even though we're running corporations, we do all such of things. They were the sense of black flight, black professional flight from the neighborhoods and whatnot, you know, and who's left behind. You know, so we got to look at that, too. But that don't give us no reason for police to come in our neighborhoods and shoot us down. And the way, there was just another incident at, another Waffle House. Beat up a black woman. Beat up a black woman.
Yeah.
I forgot her name. It did last week. Matter of fact, it's supposed to be a boycott of Waffle House. Beat up a black woman. And tore her clothes off.
Huh?
Yes. Look it up. I think it was in the state of Georgia. I'm not too sure. It was either Florida or Georgia. Yes. Beat the black. They didn't shoot her or anything. They harassed her. You want to know something, fellas? It's not only the criminal justice system. Look how people are behaving towards us. Do you see the change? Do you see the change? I mean, it's never been a change, but it's openly now. Very disrespectful. I mean, they've been followers in stores, but they are not hiding it. They tried to be discreet about it before, but now they just openly disrespecting us. Openly. Look how they're doing on college campuses, dressing up in blackface. Professors.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I think the whole attitude towards us has changed since this man been in office.
Maybe more open since he's been in office.
Yes, they're more open. They had to be discreet about it. They had to be politically correct before. But now, it's a catch. Yeah. It's a shame. But I said, hey, look, I mean, we have to start really going back to black nationalism, protecting ourselves, building resources, take care of business, not relying on the government for everything. You know, so we really got to take a look at, you know, where we are right now and where do we have to go. Because no one, we don't expect any help from any other institution when it comes to black folks in this millennium.
That goes back to us respecting ourselves and building a strong black community.
Yes. If we can.
Representing ourselves.
If we can, because we're so assimilated now. I mean, we have a percentage that are, you know, looking at, you know, pro-black, black finances, black businesses, patronizing African Americans and whatnot. I mean, we have a small, but it's, I don't think is substantial enough. You know, not like it once was, not to have a black Wall Street. You know, we're not there yet. We're no close. And we spend $1.3 trillion a year in the last 2-3 years. $1.3 trillion. We're more consumers than investors. We're more consumers than business owners. You know, we really got to take a look at it and look at our strategies. Or how to really make because we're going backwards. Really, we're going backwards. Anytime you turn around, it's a march. It's a protest.
I know you don't like marches. We got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Why we don't wrap it up?
It's 10 seconds. I'm gonna say this in 5 seconds. All marches do is wear out a good pair of shoes. Hey, Carlin, good show, man. Thank you.
All right. Peace out. Okay, people, I want to thank everybody for listening in and calling in, Q and Kenny. I want everybody to remember, be careful out there. Everybody, I mean everybody, police, civilians, everybody, be respectful. Remember, everybody wants to go home. Until next week, I want to thank Retalk Productions for allowing me to host this show, the creator for allowing me to be, all our callers and all our listeners again.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Thank you. See you next week.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run. or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.